Rich Berger and bloodandfaith.com. Who is Israel? Who are the Jews? Did God change in the New Testament? Is Jesus different than God the Father? Did God all of a sudden have a nice streak and, you know, he sent little baby Jesus into the earth to kiss everybody's boo-boos, make everybody happy? Is the God of the Old Testament dead? Is the New Covenant replace something else? Is Jesus the nice guy? Is Jesus all about love and forgiveness? And I think these are some of the topics that I think they're inadequately explored from the pulpit. I think they're inadequately explored from our preachers, our pastors. I think over the generations we've reduced the realm of God to insignificance. I think we've reduced the realm of God to something that the prophets would not recognize. Adam and Eve would not recognize. Moses certainly would not recognize. Jesus Christ would not recognize it. And there's many reasons for this, but it all comes down to faith and belief in the church for what the Holy Scriptures have to say. And we see a pattern of this. This isn't the first time this happened. It's not like this is, you know, the church pioneered this approach of rejecting the Holy Scriptures. It's not like the Christians pioneered this approach of rejecting what the Holy Scriptures had to say in order to invent a new God that they preferred over the old God. This is what the Jews did. Mark chapter 7, Matthew chapter 15. The Jews came up to Jesus Christ. They wanted to talk about hand washing. Jesus Christ says, I don't want to talk about hand washing. I want to talk about the law of Moses. I want to talk about the Ten Commandments. I want to talk about being loyal to your race. I want to talk about the fifth commandment, honor thy father and mother. And if you speak evil of your father and mother, such as calling them racist, you're worthy of death, said Jesus Christ, Matthew chapter 15, verses 1 through 9. And the Jews wanted to sit around and talk about hand washing. We want to talk about hand washing. How come you don't follow our traditions? Jesus Christ rebuked them. He says, you guys are evil. You guys suck and you're evil. You've walked away from the commandments of God to set up your own little traditions. The Jews did this. And it began long before Jesus Christ. There's a reason they call it the Babylonian Talmud. It began even before that. They forsook the Lord thy God. Reading Ezekiel this morning, and the Almighty is incensed. By the way, the God of Ezekiel is Jesus Christ. We'll get back to that in a minute. But that's what the Jews did. They said, look, we got the law, we got the prophets, we don't like it. We're going to come up with our oral traditions. And if you talk to the Jews, you talk to a rabbi, they will tell you very clearly, very frankly, yeah, we prefer the oral tradition over the written law. And they're proud of it. They're very proud of it. They said it gives us a lot more flexibility. It's a lot more creative. We can come up with much more reasonable solutions to what we perceive as our problems. And so, yeah, we keep it around as a token, but really it's the oral tradition that gives us the flexibility to address whatever theological issues we want. And the Christian church has done the same thing. They said, look, we understand what it says. We know what Jesus Christ said. We know what Moses said. We know what the prophet said. We know what the epistle said. We know what the apostles said. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, Galatians, Philippians, Ephesians, Colossians. But, yeah, never mind that stuff. We have an oral tradition in which we've made Jesus out to be the nice guy, the tolerant guy, the diverse guy, the loving guy, the forgiving guy, and this is now our God. The church has done this. The church says, we don't like Jesus 1.0. In fact, we don't like anything written down in the Bible, and we're going to create an oral tradition. And we'll pick and choose a few scriptures here and there, such as being born again, because, frankly, it's so inoffensive that people don't even care. You must be born. Nobody cares. Doesn't make any difference. It's not salt. It's not life. Is it true that you must be born again? Absolutely. You must be born again. You must be baptized. The prophet spoke of that. Jeremiah spoke of that. Ezekiel spoke of that. I'm going to put a new heart in you, a heart of flesh. I'm going to take away the heart of stone and put a heart of flesh in you. Jesus Christ simply is mimicking what the prophet said in John 3:16 when he said you must be born again. He's mimicking what the prophet said in Jeremiah chapter 31 and in Ezekiel. He's simply saying what they already said. I'm going to take away the heart of flesh and I'm going to heart of stone. I'm going to give you a heart of flesh that's being born again. Church says, well, we you know, God of the Old Testament, he was mean, he was vindictive, he was angry, he was quite frankly a genocidal maniac, and thank God Jesus showed up and saved us from the angry God. And you don't know whether to weep or to cry. I don't know whether to weep or to cry, and I do a little bit of both. The God of the prophets is Jesus Christ. The God of Moses is Jesus Christ. The God of the patriarchs is Jesus Christ. When the Bible in the Hebrew Scriptures talks about the Lord, it's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. It's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. Abraham spoke with and worshiped Jesus Christ. Job worshiped Jesus Christ. Adam and Eve worshiped Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ was the Savior to Adam and Eve. He could have destroyed them. He says, no, I'm going to have a blood sacrifice. He killed some animals and he covered their nakedness with the skin, with the hides of living beings. Adam and Eve, they tried to make their own salvation. They sewed together some plants. Jesus Christ showed up. He says, no, man, no, uh-uh. First of all, you can't save yourself. Second of all, this requires blood. This is about blood. You sin, it's about blood. He said, I will atone for your sin. But in the meantime, I'm going to slaughter some sheep, rams, whatever it was. And he covered them with animal skins. The God of Moses never changed. The God of Isaiah and Ezekiel and Daniel and Joseph never changed. The God of the prophets and the patriarchs never changed. It was Jesus Christ from Genesis through the Revelation. It's always been Jesus Christ. Jacob wrestled with Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ was Jacob was very clear. He says, he named the place Peniel. He says, I've seen the face of God and I've lived. I've seen the face of God and I've lived. I've seen the face of God and I've lived. It was Jesus Christ that brought salvation to our patriarchs, to our racial ancestors, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Moses, the 12 tribes, and the prophets. And those 12 tribes rejected Jesus Christ. They rejected Jesus Christ. Even though he was the one that brought them salvation. And God destroyed that ancient land and that ancient city and that ancient temple. He drove them out of the land. He killed many of them, killed many, many, many of the sons of Israel. And he drove the sons of Israel out of that land. He gave the land to other people. He destroyed the temple, the first temple and the second temple. He destroyed the city, drove them all out. And they all went to Europe. They went to Europe. The God of Ezekiel, the God in the book of Ezekiel, I've been reading Ezekiel, Ezekiel 7, 8, 9, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. And he is full of anger, wrath, vengeance, in destruction. And Ezekiel cries out for his race. Ezekiel cries out for his race. Ezekiel cries out for his race. He's race loyal. He said, Lord God, are you going to destroy all the offspring of Israel? And the Lord God, he responds, listen, every man, every woman, every child, every maiden, every young man, slaughter them all. And he says, he's feared a sword. I'm going to give you this sword. He kills men. He kills women. He kills children. He sends fire. He sends famine in armies to wipe out and destroy these people, this city. This is Jesus Christ. This is the same God that drove Adam and Eve out of the garden. This is the same God that obliterated everything that had breath that lived upon the land in the great flood. This is Jesus Christ. He didn't change. I got to check my thing. I got a grandkid coming over. He didn't change. The God that spoke with Ezekiel is Jesus Christ. That is the Lord. When you read about the Lord and the Lord God in the Old Testament, it's talking about Jesus Christ. It's an exact representation of the nature of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is God. Jesus Christ is God. He's not some dude that showed up and had a little happy talk like the church makes him out to be. The church makes Jesus Christ, oh, Jesus, what would Jesus do? What would Jesus? He'd probably slaughter everybody. Luke 19:27, bring those people here that didn't want me to rule over them and slaughter them in my presence. Said Jesus Christ, this is the same God that was the God of Samuel and the God of Elijah. And what Jesus Christ said in Luke 19:27 is not any different what Samuel did to Agag and what Elijah did to the evil, wicked, damned prophets of Baal. Jesus Christ is not any more tolerant and inclusive than Elijah or Samuel. Very specifically, King Saul of old was rejected because he thought he'd be more tolerant of his enemies. Jesus Christ says to Samuel, he says, I hate this man. I hate him. I've rejected him utterly from being king over my people. I'll find a new man. I'll get a new man. I'm going to get David. He's a man after my own heart. And what was David? What was David? What was David like? Saul has killed his hundreds, but David killed his thousands. David killed his thousands. When Samuel hewed Agag to pieces before the Lord Jesus Christ at Gilgal, that was an exact representation of the nature and the heart of Jesus Christ. When Elijah brings the prophets of Baal down to the brook at Kidron and he kills them all, that's the exact nature and personality of Jesus Christ. It was the spirit of Christ within those prophets that guided them and directed them. It was the spirit of Jesus Christ within the prophets. It was the spirit of Jesus Christ within those prophets. Read those first few chapters of the book of Ezekiel. God said, my eye will not pity or spare young, old, male, female, young maidens, little kids. I'm going to wipe them out, slaughter them all. I'm going to drive them out of this place. I'm going to drive them into. I'm going to scatter them among the nations. It's going to scatter them among the nations. Oh, yeah, they kept a form of worship. They had a form of worship. But they hated Jesus Christ, and they abandoned Jesus Christ, and they set up a new religion. It's called Judaism. You have the Talmudic, the Babylonian Talmud. Bible talks about this. Even the Bible, even Esther talks about it. They talk about a whole new religion they set up, a Purim. So the prophet Ezekiel talks about a God that doesn't put up with, he doesn't put up with our nonsense. He does not put up with our nonsense. He also talks about a God, and it's Jesus Christ, that treats a nation as a whole. And this is one of the big things the church has gotten away from. The church has reduced God to a personal religion. And God's not a personal religion. The church has reduced the entire, all the Holy Scriptures to a kind of a personal morality cult. Well, if you're nice, God will love you. If you're not nice, God will still love you. But he wants you to be nice, and he will save you from your sins, and you go to heaven. Why has the church done this? It's done this to make life easier for themselves. Let's not have a God or a religion that offends the Jews. We don't want anything to offend the Jews. Oh, God, because they're, you know, they're God, they're, you know. I'll try not to get into it. It's hard to stay away from that because it is central to the story. The story of the Jews is central to the gospel story that begins in the book of Genesis. And the Jews are not the children of Israel. Don't make that mistake. Just because they say they're a Jew doesn't mean, it's like a dude saying he's a woman. Don't believe somebody just because they say they're a Jew. They may be a Jew, but it doesn't mean they're a child of Israel. The story of Moses and the story of the prophets is one in which the Almighty God deals with a race of people. He deals with an ethnic group. He deals with an ethnos. He deals with a nation. As a nation, you cannot read the scriptures and come up with the idea that, you know, this is just a personal religion. This is just between you and God. No, it's between an entire nation. And not only the nation of Israel, the ancient nation of Israel, but all the other nations at that time. And by the way, God didn't change, so it applies today too. And the nation that sinned will be judged. And that's, you know, that's where the Ten Commandments come in. The Ten Commandments are not a personal morality code. It's a code for a nation. And so in the book of Ezekiel, what I've been reading lately, this morning, he deals with the nation and he says, listen, man, y'all are in trouble. I'm going to kill men, women, kids, babies, maidens, young men. I'm going to destroy the city. I'm going to drive you out of here. I'm going to scatter you amongst the nations. I'm going to scatter you amongst the nations. And that's exactly what happened. Now, some of you will say, yes, but he says, I'm going to gather you back to my land of Israel. Okay. Jesus Christ is the land of Israel. Jesus Christ is the land. Can a land be born in a day? Can a land be born in a day? Can a nation be born all at once? That is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the nation, and it's the land. But that's not even the message either. I guess the message that I've got for you is God has never changed. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. It's the same under Moses, same under Elijah, same under Ezekiel, same under the prophets. And when a nation abandons the worship of Jesus Christ, as ancient Israel did, because they worshiped Jesus Christ, even though he didn't know him by that name, wrath comes upon them. United States, the wrath of God has come upon this country. And we're not getting out of it. I don't care if you're Christian. I don't care. We're all going to suffer under this stuff. The wrath of God has come upon this nation. In the Bible, the Almighty deals with nations, as entire groups of people, not just one off. And the church has reduced, and I don't even like the word Christianity, but it's reduced Christianity to this personal morality cult. When in the Holy Scriptures, God deals with entire nations. And this nation, the United States, has abandoned Jesus Christ, turned away from Jesus Christ, wants a religion that sues the Jew, that soothes the Jews. So we've come up with a Judeo-Christian religion. It's got little resemblance to the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, the God of Moses, the God of the prophets, and of Jesus Christ himself. So we're in trouble. This country is experiencing judgment, and it's going to get a lot worse, a lot worse. I stayed up the other night, and we're closing out. I stayed up the other night. You know, sometimes I can't sleep, and sometimes because I'm worrying about things in my own life. A lot of times, mostly, it's because I got these theological ideas running through my mind. And the other night, I couldn't stay awake. I guess the message that night to me was, get ready. It's coming. It's coming sooner than you think. And it's coming whether you're ready or not, or whether you want to or not. And a lot of Christians are going to say, well, they've already abandoned Jesus Christ. Judgment is nigh. Jesus Christ is not the nice God. Jesus Christ is the Lord in the book of Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapters 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Go read them. That's Jesus Christ. You want to know what's in store for our nation? Go read Ezekiel 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Fritz Bergen, bloodandfaith.com.